One's appreciation for mom changes over the years. A 6-year-old may say, "Mommy, I love you." A 10-year-old may say, "Mom, whatever." A 16-year-old may say, "My mom is so annoying." At 18, they may say, "I want to leave this house." At 25, they may say, "Mom, you were right." At 30, "I want to go to mom's house today." At 50, "I don't want to lose my mom." At 70, "I would give up everything for my mom to be with me." You know, things change, don't they? They change over the years. And as we get older in life, we begin to appreciate and value more our mothers. Motherhood is a woman's highest calling. To be a mother is full of work and sacrifice and love and selflessness. It's not a role that comes with a lot of bright lights. There's not a lot of great rewards that moms maybe see every day. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of responsibility. And the truth of the matter is, motherhood in America, biblical motherhood, is on the demise. If you're a young lady here today, one of the chief aims in life should be to be a wife and mother. And if you have that desire, that God-given desire, that's not a wicked desire. That's from God. God set it up that way. It says in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it's instructing the older ladies to teach the younger ladies. And it says to teach them this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Mothers give so much to their children. They give love from the very beginning at birth as they hold that newborn and cuddle that little one and nurture it and care for that the helpless little one that God has given them. It's a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job. Those of you that are new mothers are experiencing that. You're experiencing the 2 o'clock in the morning. Uh-oh, there's something wrong. I've got to go find out what's wrong. You're experiencing that you are at their call. You're on call all the time. A mother looks out for the best of her household. She watches out for her children. She makes sure that they have clothes and food. And physically, if there's something wrong, usually it's mom that's the first one to take notice and realize, uh-oh, something's wrong. Something's wrong, they're not acting right. Or boy, there's a fever. Or boy, they're grabbing their ear an awful lot. Maybe they have an ear infection. It's usually mom that catches on to those things first. She makes sure that the right attention is given to that little one. Mothers have the hope of creating the perfect environment for their children. I slept, before I was a mom, I slept as late as I wanted and never worried about how late I got to bed. I brushed my hair and my teeth every day. Before I was a mom, I cleaned my house each day. I never tripped over toys or forgot words to a lullaby. I didn't worry whether or not my plants were poisonous. I never thought about immunizations. That was before I was a mom. Before I was a mom, I had never been puked on, spit on, chewed on. I had complete control of my mind and my thoughts. I slept all night. Before I was a mom, I never held down a screaming child so that the doctors could do the test or give the shots. I never looked into teary eyes and cried. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. I never sat up late hours at night watching a baby sleep. Before I was a mom, I never had a sleeping baby. Just because I didn't want to put it down, I never felt my heart break into a million pieces when I couldn't stop the hurt. I never knew that something so small could affect me so much. I never knew that I could love someone so much. I never knew I would love being a mom. Before I was a mom, I had never gotten up in the middle of the night every 10 minutes to make sure that all was okay. I never knew the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the wonderment or the satisfaction of being a mom. I didn't know I was capable of feeling so much before I was mom. Mom pour times into their children without many times receiving anything in return. The thousands of meals they prepare in a child's lifetime, the countless hours spending in care of the needs of the children. Oh, listen to me today. If you have a mother alive today, appreciate her. Call her if she's halfway across the country. Send flowers to show your love to her, for you realize you'll not always have her. It's life without a guardian. It's life without someone to go to. It's life without the gentle touch or the gentle convicting words. It's life without your cheerleader. Over the past year, I have lost the opportunity to spend as much time with my mother. We talk on the phone. We try to connect when we are on the road. But it's not the same as the time that we had together when she was here. Every Saturday, I get an email from my mother, no matter where they're at, no matter their schedule. I get an email updating me on her week. And at the end of the email, it'll say something like this. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your services tomorrow and that God would anoint you as you preach. I love you. And today I'm thankful for my mother. Are you? When God gave you and I a mother, He gave us something that was very special. And certainly all of those different responsibilities that I've talked through this morning are very important. But I want to direct your attention to the scriptures this morning, and I'm preaching on this thought, the greatest gift that a mother can give. We have a lot of mothers here today, and what is the greatest gift that you could give to your children? Some grandmothers today, what is the greatest gift that you could pass down to your grandchildren? I think we find the answer in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul is speaking to Timothy, the young preacher, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and my mother Eunice. And Paul says, and I am persuaded that in thee also, or I'm persuaded, Timothy, that you got the same unfeigned faith that was in your mother Eunice and was in your grandmother Lois. I'm persuaded that they have given you the greatest gift that they could have ever given you. We can give love. We can give care. Those are important things. But the greatest gift, mothers, that you could ever give your child, your children, the greatest gift, grandmothers, that you could ever give your grandchildren is the gift of an unfeigned faith. I want to give you three things about Eunice this morning that ought to grab your attention. And by the way, we're not here just to celebrate Mother's Day and do all the nice things for mothers. We are here on Mother's Day to learn from the Scripture what it says about motherhood. Brethren, if there's ever a day in which we need biblical motherhood, it's the day in which we live today. Every mother here ought to be challenged from the Scriptures this morning and say, how can I fulfill the role that God has given to me as a biblical mother? And the first thing we see in her life is her faith. Turn over to Acts chapter 16, verse number 1, or verses 1 and 2. It gives us a little insight about this lady by the name of Eunice, Timothy's mother, defined in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is on a missionary journey, and he comes to the cities of Derbe and Lystra, and he meets there Timotheus, or we call him Timothy, and he knows of his family, his background, and he gives us some insight to his family. In verse number 1, the Bible says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and here's an important phrase, and believed. But his father, that's Timothy's father, was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. The Scripture says of her that she was a Jewish and believed. You know, one of the key things about Eunice that allowed her to pass her faith on to Timothy, one of the key truths in her life that she practiced is she was a teachable person. There's a time in Eunice's life where she didn't believe. By the way, there's a time in every person's life where they do not believe on Jesus Christ. There's a time where they are in sin. They are enslaved to the devil's path for them. They're a child of disobedience according to Ephesians chapter number 2. We're all born there. But Eunice, sometime, somewhere, someplace, came under the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She heard that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again for her sin. And the Bible says she's a Jew that was a believer. I'm asking you this morning, are you a believer? Because just the fact that you're in church this morning does not make you or I a believer. She was a believer. Eunice's cornerstone for her life, her foundation for life, for her family, was her faith in Jesus Christ. Brethren, if you don't have faith in Christ, you have no foundation for a family this morning. You have no foundation for raising children up to please God and to follow God's Word and to serve God with their lives. Without Christ, there is no hope for any of that. It was not a general faith in God. It wasn't an up and down faith and all around. It wasn't a faith that she lived for God for a few months and then let Him down for years and left Him and somewhere along the line decided, I better give back to God. Though if she lived that kind of life, it is never too late to come back to God. Get that this morning. Say, preacher, what did she believe in? She had the same belief that Paul instructed the Philippian jailer at the end of Acts 16. Look at the end of Acts 16 this morning, verse number 29. We find Paul and Silas in prison. The earthquake has happened. The doors have been flown open of the prison. Prisoners are escaping. The jailer is ready to take his own life. Verse number 29, the Bible says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This is the jailer. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that day the Philippian jailer bowed his head before a holy God, and instead of taking his life, took the gift of eternal life through Christ alone. And he bowed his head that day and he admitted to God that he was a sinner and that he had violated God's laws and God's commands and that he had crossed the line of perfection and that he had sinned miserably. And he asked Jesus Christ to save his soul. He believed on the finished work of Christ. My friend, when you do that, when that takes place in your life, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. At that moment in time, he was saved. At the moment in time in which Eunice believed in her heart that Christ raised from the dead and confessed with her mouth the Lord Jesus, at that moment in time, she was saved. How about you? Yesterday, I'm thrilled to announce that there was a young man out on visitation that a couple of our men had to meet. And yesterday, he bowed his head at his home. And he admitted to God that he was a sinner. And he realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sin. And he bowed his head and he confessed Christ and he asked Christ to save him. Hey, sir, ma'am, listen to me this morning. Mother, when was that time in your life? If a commentary could be written about you, if there was something put on your tombstone when you die, would it say that you were a believer? Because that's the testimony of Eunice. She had a faith that was real. Her belief on Christ became the centerpiece to her life. Her faith was evident to others. Notice Paul noticed it. In Acts chapter 16, when you go back to that verse in verse number 1, it was evident to Paul. It was evident to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where he talks about Timothy's unfeigned faith. He was persuaded that he had come to that point in his life, but that Eunice had had it and that Lois had had it. There was no question mark about Eunice's faith. Mom, what about you? Do people question your faith? Are phrases said like this? Boy, she claims to know Christ, but she doesn't show it. It means a faith that's genuine. When we think of unfeigned faith, the word unfeigned here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it means a faith that's without hypocrisy. It's consistent. It's day in and day out. You're the same all the time. It means what you get on Sunday in church from a mother, you get on Monday with her family. It means on Tuesday when no one else is around, she's the same person she was on Sunday and Monday. It means that when she goes to the market or goes to the store on Wednesday, you get the same Christian person. She has an unfeigned faith. Put her in any situation, you'll get the same Christian. Is that true of you today, Mother? There was a consistency about her life. It wasn't doubtful. It was very clear. Can I ask you, Mom, can your children testify of your faith being unfeigned? Can they testify of seeing the same attitudes, the same gifts or fruits of the Spirit emanating from your life on a regular basis? Can they testify seeing you open the Scriptures, or do they know that you have a time where you open the Scriptures on a daily basis and you learn from God and you take time to pray? Can your children testify of that in your life? I'll never forget walking downstairs many times in my home as a young person, seeing my mother on her knees on a chair pouring out her soul before a holy God. She has an unfeigned faith. How about you? It was recognized. An unfeigned faith is something that you want to pass down. It's the greatest gift that you can pass down. Secondly, though, not only did she have an unfeigned faith or her faith we see, but secondly, I want you to see her fortitude. Turn back to Acts chapter 16, if you will. The Bible's very interesting in Acts chapter 16. It makes note, or it makes very clear, that Eunice was a believer, a Jewish that believed. And then it gives a contrary statement about her husband. It says, but he was a Greek. The Bible doesn't come right out and say that he was an unbeliever here, but the indication or the implication here is that he was not on the same page as she was spiritually. When we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and it's talking about Timothy and it's talking about his godly heritage, his father is never brought into the Scripture. It's never revealed from the Scripture that he was pushing Timothy in the right direction. Eunice probably had an uphill road in raising Timothy for Christ. She may not have had the support of a godly husband, but listen to me carefully. She was determined that Timothy would be equipped in life with the tools to serve God. Can you picture Eunice with me this morning? It's the day to go to church. She may have woken up a little weary, maybe not having much sleep through the night, maybe not feeling so well, maybe really burdened about the problems that came into her life through the week. Maybe knowing that she will again go without her husband to church today. But then her thoughts run to her boy, Timothy. And she thinks to herself, what will I communicate to Timothy by staying home today? I cannot do what my flesh tells me to do. I cannot give in to just the things that would hold me back from getting my boy under the sound teaching and preaching of the Word of God and putting him in an environment where the Spirit of God could work on his heart and change his heart and light a fire to where he could serve God. I gotta go to church today, I think Eunice would say. Oh, if there's something that I want to pass down to my boy Timothy, it's that my faith matters. It's that it affects my daily lifestyle. It's that I'm going to fight to get there. I'm going to do whatever it takes to raise my children for God. And oh, we need some mothers again that have some fortitude and some grit that whatever anybody else is doing, I'm going to put my children where it matters, where they can hear the Word of God, where they can grow in their faith. Eunice had that commitment. Can you see Eunice with that little tight Timothy? And he's learning to pitch a little fit. And see her time after time taking him and thinking to herself, bless God, I can't let you do that. We're going to go back to the whipping shed again. We're going to take the rod of education and apply it to the board, to the seat of learning. Not because I want to hurt you, son, but I want to show you that you cannot do that. I want to put restrictions in your life. I want to make your path narrow. I want you to grow up and know what it is to have a character and to know the difference between right and wrong. And that little boy would go back maybe after he was corrected and he would do the same thing. And she'd pull that little boy aside, Timothy, and say, Timothy, I love you, but we can't do that. And here's what the Scriptures teach on it. And this is why you can't do it. And Mommy, this hurts Mommy, but I've got to take the right steps here and I've got to correct you and pray with him and say, oh, let God help Timothy in this area. Lord, help Timothy to overcome this particular battle in his life. And over again as a mother going back and training and teaching and correcting. Listen, it takes fortitude to do that. It takes courage. It takes bravery. It takes resiliency. It takes a backbone. But Eunice had it. She had an unfeigned faith that she was determined to pass down to her children. Can you see Eunice this morning as she watches her boy grow and faces the temptations of life? Can you see her heart troubled as she ponders the signs that maybe Timothy might be drifting a little bit spiritually? Maybe Timothy is not going in the direction that he's been trained in. Can you see her perplexed and asking inwardly, what can I do? How can I help this situation? Oh God, it seems like maybe it's out of my hands at this point. And then I can see her going to her closet, getting the old weapon of prayer, and saying, you know what? I may not be able to solve all the hard issues in his life right now, but you know what? I'm going to go and use that weapon. I have a fortitude about me. I have a belief. I have a faith that God can work in his life. I'm not going to give up on my son. I'm going to use the weapon of prayer. And I'm going to bow my knees and bow my heads and beg God on behalf of my son. Oh, listen to me this morning. Eunice had a fortitude. What about you, mother? Have you given up? Have you thrown in the towel? Have you grown to accept the way things are? Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can I give you some biblical counsel, mothers, this morning? Say, preacher, I don't have them in the home anymore. Listen, you still have the weapon of prayer. The Bible says, pray and watch with all perseverance. Say, preacher, what I see right now, I don't like. Pray. Go into the prayer closet. Get that old weapon out again that the Bible gives us called prayer. Take that weapon and say, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to watch. Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to watch with all perseverance. I'm going to supplicate on behalf of my children. Say, preacher, my children are pretty good right now. You better be praying. You better be praying. Maybe you feel like the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 73. He said this, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I can see her praying when things didn't seem so bright. When Timothy had made a bad turn. When Timothy maybe gave in to sins of the flesh. I believe she just kept bending a knee before God. Mother, can I talk to you this morning and ask you this question? How often are you bending a knee before God on behalf of your children? That takes fortitude. I can see her discipline to keep instructing him in the Scriptures. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, Paul says this about Timothy, and that from a child, watch this, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I believe that there were times that Eunice had set aside that were instructing times in the Scriptures. There were times maybe when she talked about Proverbs. There were times maybe when she told the stories about Jonah and the big fish and the high cost of disobeying God. There were times where maybe she talked about the faith that Noah had to build the ark. There were times where she made him wise unto salvation, and she taught him from a child in the Scriptures. Moms, listen to me. That's not the church's job. That's your job. That's the home's job. Do you have some time set aside? Are you planning as a mother? Are you looking ahead and saying, boy, this is what I can't wait to talk to my kids about next in the Scriptures? Oh boy, God just gave me a boatload in my own personal life, in my own personal devotion life. Boy, I can't wait to share this with my kids. Is that taking place in your home? Is there a fortitude to instruct them in the Scriptures? I can see her depending on the God-given resources even when it didn't seem like they were working. I can see her fortitude as Timothy grew up, maybe around other boys who were free to be undisciplined, who are left to themselves, who are given to worldliness, going the way of the devil, promise promiscuity in their lives, being overcome by the devil. But Eunice must have thought, bless God, my boy's not going to go that way. Doesn't matter what all the other boys are doing. Doesn't matter how all the other boys are being raised. My boy's not going to go that way. I'm not going to allow that to happen. It must have been days where she had to say no. And she knew her boy wouldn't be happy. But she knew that it was right. She drew some lines in the sand. I can see her fortitude as she sits down with her son and goes over the training on being a gentleman for the 10th time. Where she teaches him how to behave himself in the house of God. Now, son, you didn't get it right last week. Let's go over this again. Let's go over what it means when we go to the house of God, how to behave in the house of God, how to listen, how to respect, how to worship. Oh, give us some mothers who have some fortitude about them. A fortitude to pray and not give up. A fortitude to say no when everyone else is saying yes. A fortitude to keep instructing in the Scriptures. A determination to get the kids to church every time the doors are open. God, give us some godly mothers that have an unfeigned faith that says, bless God, the priorities in my life and my children's life are going to be God's priorities. In the mid-1700s, there lived an old saintly woman who everyone called Mama Newton. She was a lady that all the children in the neighborhood wanted as their mother. She had hair like a halo of silver, hands worn with calluses, and cheeks that were stained with tears. Every day and every night, you would find Mama Newton crying and praying over her washtub in a room of poverty for her son John. John had run away from home as a rebellious teenager to become a sailor. John had become an ungodly, wicked man who was disowned by his father, and everyone who knew him prayed because he was so wicked. Yet day and night, Mama Newton kept praying that God would save. She believed in two things, the power of prayer and the conversion of her son. And God one day answered that prayer. John Newton, the drunken sailor, became John Newton, the sailor preacher, who at the age of 54 penned the Christian national anthem, Amazing Grace. God greatly used John Newton to reach thousands, including a man by the name of Thomas Scott, who with his voice and pen was used by God to lead thousands to Christ. Included among them was a man by the name of William Cowper, who penned the immortal words, "There is a fountain filled with blood," which has brought thousands to the one who died at Calvary. Why? How did all that take place? Because there was a mama that had some fortitude. We must have faith. We must have fortitude. And I'm closing this morning with this thought. Mamas that have an unfeigned faith and mamas that have fortitude enjoy godly fortune. The once powerful leader of France, Napoleon, said this, "Let France have great mothers and France will have great sons." You won't be able to fulfill your responsibility without an unfeigned faith, a faith that's consistent, it's real, it's day in and day out. A fortitude that says, I'm going to fight for my kids. I'm going to have courage and bravery to stand against the flow of our culture. You'll enjoy the fortune that Eunice had. Eunice's fortune was not in the size of the house that she lived in. It was not in the costly array of jewelry that she owned, or the vacations that she enjoyed, or the white-collar lifestyle that she lived. Her fortune was this. Her boy got it. That's a big statement in the Scriptures. When Paul said of Timothy, "And I am persuaded of thee also." She passed down an unfeigned faith. She may not have passed down money. She didn't need to. She may not have passed down popularity or power. She didn't need to. She just needed him to get one thing. To have a faith that is real. To have a faith that is unfeigned. To have a real relationship with God. Proverbs 23 verses 24 and 25 say this, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Verse 25 says, "Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." It's interesting that if you were to take a Bible dictionary and look up the name Eunice, you know what her name means? Happily conquering. What does it indicate? She faced some battles. You're going to raise kids for Christ, you better mark it down. You're going to face some battles. But you know what? At the end of it, she happily conquered. She happily conquered. She went through the battlehood of motherhood, the battle of motherhood, and won. Timothy became a powerful minister of the gospel. And listen to me carefully this morning, mothers. You don't have to have a man in the ministry to be a success. You do have to have children that love God and want to serve Him and have a faith that's real. Mothers, the greatest gift that you can pass on to your children is a faith that's unfeigned. It'll take fortitude to do this. There'll be all kinds of obstacles. There'll be battles to be fought. There'll be times in which you have to overcome yourself. It'll take times, at times it'll take nearly everything out of you. But Mom, I can tell you this morning, from Eunice's life, it will be worth it. Say, preacher, I may be not getting to enjoy the fortune today. Don't give up. It's not over. We never give up on our kids. I ask you this morning, how is your faith? Maybe you need to respond to the challenge in Acts chapter 16, where it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. There are a number of guests with us this morning. What about your faith? Do you have a day and a time and a place that you can look back at and say, yep, on that day, I asked Christ to save me. On that day, God changed my life. On that day, God forgave me of all of my sin. He gave me a new life in Christ. Do you have a day and a place? That's the foundation. That's the centerpiece of life. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs that centerpiece. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're here this morning and you're saved. But as you look at your life, your faith is not so unfeigned. It's inconsistent. It's hypocritical at times. It's one thing in front of the kids. It's another thing at church. It's one thing with your friends. It's another thing in private. It's one thing on the telephone, maybe, as you gossip to someone on the phone. And it's another thing as you show up sweet at church. Listen, my friends, you can only pass down what you have. If your faith is feigned, that's what your children will get. God's looking for some mothers and even fathers this morning that would say, I want an unfeigned faith. Your fortitude this morning, where's that at? Have you set your face like a flint and said, but by God's grace and with God's help and with God's tools and resources, I am going to get this job done. God, I am depending upon You, but God, You know my heart's desire. And Lord, I am not willing to give up. I'm not willing to give ground in any area with my children. I'm willing to pull out all the stops that they may know Christ, that they may serve Christ, that they may live for Christ.